The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Welcome to Remnant Voice Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode brought to you by Pastor Jason Armstrong. For more information on this episode and other podcasts, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv.
What's up, Remnant Nation? Welcome back to the Remnant Voice Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Armstrong, Associate Pastor here at Summit Church in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And as always, if you're ever in the region, if you're ever in the area, if you've come in to visit the mountains, be sure to come by and visit us here at 202 Sugar Hollow Road. We have services on Sunday at 10:30 and then Wednesdays at 7. And the first Friday of every month, we have a worship night where we just start the month off giving the first of the month to the Lord. So, welcome to episode 33. And this is, I'm excited, for this episode because this is something I've been wanting to do for a minute, and I've been trying to get things lined up and everything's just worked out for this one. And so today's episode, I've got my good friend, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapiro. Ricky, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, my friend, it's always good to be with you, and it's good to see you again, and I'm excited to be on the program and reaching a lot of folks down even into the south in Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg and the Tennessee area up in the mountains and the Appalachian areas. So, yeah, man, I'm excited today, and we've got a lineup today for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime me and Ricky get together, you know, it's always good. I mean, we go way back when we were both together at Perry Stone Ministries and OCI back, you know, in Cleveland days. And since then, we've both been, you know, dispersed out and sent out and functioning in the field that God has called us to. And on this program, you know, the heart behind this thing is you know, knowing that God always has a remnant and that remnant has a voice. And one of the things I want to do on this platform is give a voice to those that are out there. And so today's message, today's thing that we're going to be talking about, Ricky, many of you, especially my followers, they're already, I'm pretty sure, familiar with Ricky, you know, with End Time Headlines. I mean, you know, on Facebook, YouTube. And the heartbeat behind End Time Headlines is news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. News and headlines from a prophetic perspective. So there's a lot going on out there. And on this episode, we're gonna take a look at some of these headlines. And I'm just gonna turn Ricky loose. And in the midst of those things, we're gonna talk about, you know, where we are in time, some things that we can look at that's coming ahead that might be coming our way. How do we prepare ourselves for the things ahead? You know, watchmen in the scripture had a huge role. You know, they stood up on the wall and they saw things that was out in the distance or out far away that were coming towards the kingdom and coming towards things. So Ricky's definitely one of those watchmen people that is able to recognize things and type symbols, shadows, patterns, and see things that are coming ahead, and then be able to sound a clarion call like a Nehemiah's trumpet. What, do we work? Do we war? You know, what is it that we're having to do in this hour? So one of the headlines that I want to talk about here recently, and obviously this is a big thing, is the COVID-19, the coronavirus, and some of the draconian measures that's being placed, you know, to combat it, you know, under the name of healthcare and safety and all those type of things. You did a podcast recently called the new era of the coronavirus. And I want you just to give us some insight on what you're seeing with that and what you've been reporting on, to the listeners that are listening today.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I will say to your viewers and the audience that, you know, particular maybe that are, you know, not up to key with, look, and I know you know, I get it. I get messages from people all the time, my family members, and they say, look, we just turned off the television. We don't want to watch mainstream media. We don't want to read the news because it's all gloom and it's doom and it's despair and it's negative. And it just, you know, it just kind of works on you. And I get it. I mean, even as a watchman, there's times, you know, that I have to take a sabbatical, obviously a short period of time, but I have to take those sabbaticals from the headlines. And because, you know, as Jason pointed out, you know, we have to, as watchmen, we have to be on the front lines of this thing. So we have to keep, you know, it's kind of like the saying, you have to sleep with one eye open. We have to be aware. We have to be discerning, and know what's coming down the pike. And I will tell you this, that I'm not surprised by what we're seeing come down the pike. What we're seeing now is basically what we saw in the spring when the initial, when this thing first came on the scene. And by the way, there was new information. It was just released that now they're saying, excuse me, that this thing really, they found traces of antibodies in patients that traced all the way back to December. So initially it was, you know, did this thing start in March? Did it start in April? How long did China cover this thing up when it first you know, sprung up in China and Wuhan and different locations? And, you know, there was a big debate on that, but now they're saying it goes all the way back to December of, what would it be,
2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, or actually be 2018.
2018. Yeah.
Yeah. And some, you know, I talked to people personally that's had some mysterious respiratory illnesses that traced all the way back to even in the fall of 2018, that, you know, when they got tested for multiple strands of flu and everything came up negative and they swear up and down they had the coronavirus. But nevertheless, there was these measures that was implemented. And I think, honestly, if we was to be honest with ourselves, everybody was kind of on board because this was a new coronavirus, a novel is what they call it. I believe it's the medical term, a novel coronavirus, meaning it was unknown origin. The medical field did not know how to deal with this, the CDC, the World Health Organization. So when the governors began to handle this the best they knew how, they began to bring in restrictions, bring in lockdowns, shutdowns. And we know that, you know, as a result of that, basically almost like the whole world came to a screeching halt. The economies, the retail, every industry came to a stop. And then, you know, there was so much confusion. You remember this, Jason? They said, I believe it was Fauci and all them said, don't wear masks.
Yeah.
Because you keep wearing the mask, it's going to put the healthcare industry at a shortage, and we're not going to have enough healthcare. We're not going to have enough equipment to distribute to healthcare. Then they changed their tone on that. Now everybody needs to wear a mask, and so they went back and forth. But nevertheless, there was all these draconian, what we would deem to be draconian measures that started to be implemented. We saw everything from business being shut down. By the way, many of them have not even fully recovered. I mean, there was research that said that businesses in New York and New Jersey, different places like that, will never return. So it's a very sad situation. But you've got, you know, this coronavirus vaccine now is being pushed. Of course, you had all the while that was being presented, I kept warning people that, you know, we're going to see, I predicted that what we saw in the spring is going to come back in the fall and in the winter months, and it's going to come at a greater measure. And why did I say that? Because one, they kept warning that, you know, naturally any kind of influenza or virus is going to thrive in the fall, in the winter months, because we as a civilization, we get into, we're more indoors, we're more around each other, we're more secluded. So it spreads faster. It's just common. It's just science. Okay.
Right.
And health, understanding of that. But another thing I want to point out here is, I don't know if you saw it, Jason, but did you watch the last presidential debate between Trump and Biden?
I did. The first few, I was just like, oh my goodness. And then I did actually see the last one, you know, for sure.
Well, the last one was, I think it was very good. I will say that. But there was one part of that debate that really stood out to me. And it was when they got into this topic about the coronavirus. Joe Biden said when he gave his opinion on his outlook of what it was going to look like for the coronavirus pandemic. And he said, I quote, "I see a dark winter coming."
Yeah, that did stick out for sure when I heard that.
And I remember we were watching this with some good friends of mine. We were watching this. And when he said that, I told them, we actually paused the TV. And I said, guys, I was like, I don't know if you caught that, but I believe we need to be paying attention to what he just said right there. But based on that alone, I said, I kept telling everybody and I kept harping on this and said, a dark winter is coming. And it's interesting because some of these headlines are even saying dark times, a dark era, a dark turn has taken, because now they're saying we're having unprecedented deaths. The death rate of this coronavirus is unprecedented now. They're saying
suicides are up. I mean, suicides are another thing.
Suicides that are all high, time high. In fact, I don't know if you saw this, Jason, but there was a young man that committed suicide on a Zoom during a school Zoom meeting.
During school. I saw that, man. I just grieved when I saw that.
So we've got this going. I mean, this thing, you know, all these governors, of course, we've got, you know, Widmer, Michigan, you've got Cuomo in New York, you've got Newsom in California. These guys have been, you've got the governor in Kentucky. These guys were like the front runners of this tyrannical measures taken. And now we've got the likes of Kate Brown from Oregon, who recently urged residents to even rat out their neighbors who were breaking COVID restrictions during Thanksgiving and having too many. Well, this is not going to end when we get to Christmas. It's going to be even more so. In fact, they're saying don't even celebrate Christmas. Don't even think about it.
Yeah, yeah. Where does that stop with you know, birthdays, with anniversaries, with anything that you're going to celebrate? Obviously, you know, Passover, Easter, you know, those type of things, you know, that it's just, you're going to keep shrinking those things down and keep tightening things up, if you will. So,
well, the funny thing is apparently, I mean, I know you saw this, but in San Diego, California, they ruled that strip clubs are deemed to be, essential. Nice. So wow. This, you know, I joked around about this on my podcast. I said, it's amazing because apparently, you know, venereal diseases are not a threat in strip clubs, but are not as much as a threat, or coronavirus is not as much as a threat as venereal diseases in strip clubs. But we can't gather in churches, but we can, you know, Walmart. I don't know what it's going to take for us not to be able to go to Walmart, because through all this, Walmart stayed open, Lowe's has stayed open.
It's amazing how you know, you know you're more apt to catch it at a small business versus a big box store, right? So let's just keep those things open and let the small business just shut the doors and be gone. So,
well, and apparently the coronavirus likes to come out after 10 PM because, you know, a lot of these places have curfews. And I went to true story. I went to a Bojangles, the other day. I went inside to get something for my kids. And when I was in there was a note on the door: due to the coronavirus, we will be closing indoor dining at 2 PM. And I thought to myself, I guess they know something we don't. The virus, apparently, you know, it's at bay until 2 PM Eastern. Then after 2 PM Eastern, it just comes out at full force and it's going to come right into the restaurant. Or you got to like this one: when you go to a restaurant and you walk in and it says you must wear a mask when entering the restaurant, but as soon as you sit down, apparently the virus goes right over your head because you could take that mask off and sit down and eat, and it's not going to affect you at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's one of those amazing, super,
asinine.
Yeah, that would be the word.
Yeah,
for sure. But now we're going to have to show vaccination cards, right? You know, right. Something like that.
So,
we're going
to
be like,
yes.
Hey, no,
let me get to where, because we could sit here and talk about and goof off all day, but let's get back to a serious matter. New York City will have COVID checkpoints at key bridges and crossings to enforce COVID quarantines. This is a headline that came out from a local affiliate in New York. Los Angeles mayor, was KTLA-5, which is, again, a California affiliate, announced fines for travelers who failed to acknowledge state advisories to stay home. You guys know this, Ticketmaster. In case you didn't know this, Ticketmaster, one of the leading concert venues, is now, listen to this. I'm going to give you this little quote here. Quote, as the world anticipates an experimental vaccine for COVID-19, the concert industry is preparing for a potential return to live events in the coming months. That is because of the major ticket industry. Ticketmaster is reportedly working on plans to use smartphones to verify whether customers have been vaccinated or tested for the virus, according to a report from CBS Los Angeles. So it's interesting. They said the process is still in early stages or development, but it's all in the process. Now, I've said this to our viewers. I'm going to say it to yours. If you want to know where we're going with this, watch China. I've always said that. If you watch China, how they handled the pandemic, what kind of measures they did, what kind of technology they're using, and it's called contact tracing. China wants passenger tracking system for global travel coronavirus reset. Now it's interesting.
There's the word, that term reset. Yeah.
Reset and the great reset. This term is being thrown around all over the place by world
seeing,
leaders.
We're seeing that even in the church. I think it was
Sheets,
has been talking about a great reset, and then even had a kind of a sign type thing happen out in, I think it was at a church in Las Vegas when President Trump was out there. It was an image of reset on his back as a signpost, like, hey, there's definitely a reset, you know, happening. My thing is, what are we being reset to?
Right. And I'm going to pull up a graphic here. I want all of our viewers to see this because I want you to get used to this. What you see right here is just, obviously, this is a mock version. It's going to look, but it says, health. There's a man here holding a mask for all you guys that are listening by podcast and not watching the viewing of this. There is a man holding up his smartphone, which I would say 99% of everybody that's watching or listening has one in your possession. He's holding up a smartphone and it says, health passport, COVID-19. And it's got there's a little square box there on the screen. It's got little bitty boxes in it. That is called a QR code system. Get used to this. Get used to this visual. Get used to this term. Why is that? Because, again, according to what's coming out of China, they want to adopt a, quote, global QR code system to help determine their health status and travel permissions. By the way, every major airline industry is all getting on board with this. The first one that went out of the gate with this was an Australian airline. And there's been multiple reports now saying that they were basically the catalyst for this thing. And now all your major airlines, Delta, American Airlines, all of them are going to adapt to this. I'm going to read a little bit more of this.
Yeah, go ahead.
During a recent virtual G20 summit on Saturday, Kai, again, this is the leader there in China, called for a coronavirus global mechanism, which involves internal recognition of health certificates. And by the way, health certificates, that's what Jason just talked about. Those are being implemented. Now, before everybody freaks out, health certificates or vaccine certifications, this is nothing new. In fact, vaccines are nothing new. Vaccines have been around since the 1800s.
I
want to make this known to everybody that's watching or listening. I am not an anti-vaxxer by any means. I'm not against vaccines. because some of them have been very influential in helping different individuals, whatnot. But however, for me, I can't even speak for Jason, because honestly, I don't know, even know, Jason, where you stand on this. But for me, I have not personally, I've not had a, now let me pull this off here for a second. I have not had a flu shot in living memory. In other words, I was so young the last time I had an actual flu shot that I can't even remember it. So I'm not one to go out every year and get a flu shot. So I'm not one to I'm not rushing out to get a COVID vaccine.
Right. Yeah, I'm minimum necessary.
Right, exactly.
I'm pro immune system more than I am anything. So, that's the thing. And there's natural things that we can do as well. And I've come from the healthcare field. I worked in physical therapy since 2004. Currently, still have a license. I'm not going to be super quick just to run out and, hey, here's my arm. Give me that COVID-19 thing, especially
right.
Most of these other vaccines, no matter where you stand on the aisle of the vaccines, most of these other vaccines have had some long-term testing and trial things.
That's it.
Hey, let's just put this in there and hope for the best,
Right. The average... the average time that it takes for an effective and safe vaccine is 2 years. Mm. And they said this is unprecedented that they would rush out. What do they call this? Operation Warp Speed. I wish they would implement that operation when it comes to get my tax return. That's all I'm going to say. It's Operation
Snail Pace. Or any other government function. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, but here's the thing. So remember, I showed you this QR code. And by the way, there's restaurants you go to now and they don't want you to have a physical menu. So what do you do?
That's right. Yeah.
There's a QR code, right? And you scan your mobile device, brings up your menu. I'm telling you, this is the way. Now listen, let me give you one more thing real quick off this. So what they want is they're going to implement a traffic light style health code, which is a green code, which means it will allow you to travel freely, and an orange or red code that indicates that you need to, quote, quarantine up to 2 weeks. Now, let me, I've got to pull this up. This was on another podcast that we did. And this was a UK affiliate, and he came out in an opinion piece and said he personally believes that the vaccine will not be mandatory. And by the way, today is December 4th. So don't take that to the bank, because that's subject to change. Because I just pulled up an article the other day, and there is a lot of chatter right now whether or not employees, or I should say employers, are going to mandatorily require its employees to take this, to get vaccinated. So we don't know that. This all hangs in the balance. But there was an opinion piece. This is chilling, Jason. There was an opinion piece by a minister from UK, and he said, I don't believe that the vaccine is going to be forced on society, but society will never live a normal functioning life lest they comply to the vaccine. Let that soak in.
Wow. Could that be the reset? Is that the new normal / the reset is, hey, this is the, we're going to shift things to this, and you're going to have to comply or whatever.
That's exactly right. Now, before we shift, and I'm going to show you where I believe this could be a forerunner to, or a stepping stone to. Let me say this. So let's recap this real quick. So you've got Ticketmaster, you've got the airline industry. I predict that it's going to go not just the airline industry, but every travel industry, highways, byways, roadways, railways,
rental cars,
and airways.
Rental cars.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. Every venue is going to adopt the system. Exactly.
Taxi. So, what about taxis? Taxi, Uber, all that stuff,
What about when you go to renew your license, and on your license on the back of it, it says, are you an organ donor?
Is
he going to say, have you been vaccinated?
Man.
I'm just a thought, you know.
I
said this, you have the cart, you have the horse, and you have the cart. The horse was the vaccine. The horse is the vaccine, and the horse is about to come out of the gate. They're saying this month you've got, 60 million doses that are going to come out by Pfizer.
Yeah.
Bam, it's going to go out there, 60 million. Then you've got another wave of them coming. They're saying
Pfizer, Moderna.
All these industries.
Yeah.
They're hoping by June of next year that most people that, quote, want a vaccine will be able to get it. But here's what I have warned our viewers. I said, remember, the horse is the vaccine, but the cart that's coming behind the horse is what we're talking about right now. The cart is being weighed down with this stuff. It's being weighed down with the QR code,
system. Just like they do in the government when they try to pass a bill, that they put all these things in on the back end. So, and they'll name it something great. They'll name it something wonderful, you know, like, I don't know, just Operation Freedom. And I hope there's not one out there, but let's just say that for this sake. And then in the midst of that, they put all of these actual anti-freedom legislation in that package, but because it sounds good and it's rushed and there's no time to read through it, we'll just pass it and vote it through. And the next thing the bill becomes a law and
kind of like stuck. Obamacare. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds familiar.
Which is now going to be repackaged and called, if Biden officially becomes president, it's going to be repackaged and be called Biden Care.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so where is this going? So we're recapping this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
where is it going? And then what's our response to it, believers?
So now you have a imagery of a society that I want to emphasize, could possibly and potentially get to a place where you will not be able to function as a normal society. You will not be able to travel. You'll not be able to go to vacations. You will not be able to maybe even shop or go to retails. Look now, you can't even go to a lot. You go to some places and you try to go shopping or whatever. I call it the mask brigade or the mask enforcers if you don't have a mask, you can't get in.
Hey, it's getting, and here's the thing, man. And this I've seen, we're in a big, retail area here, with the outlet malls and things like that. And it's a little bit different, I think here in our area, but this is the one thing I've noticed across the board is, some people are getting very irritated at those that don't wear masks, and so you're seeing people, fighting. And there was reports, and I don't have the headline here right now, but, there was people that were coming against each other and fighting against each other, fist fighting. I'm talking about physical altercations, but not just shaming people one way or the other, but actually saying, oh my goodness, you don't have a mask, I'm coming after you. And they go and fight them right there in the store, so it's there's a whole nother level of a measure of violence, if you will, that's coming even through that.
It's, and I have experienced that firsthand, not against me, but my son and I were at a major retail store, and we saw this firsthand. A man came in, and he was just verbally, just a verbal onslaught against a woman and her daughter. And her daughter didn't have a mask on, and he literally followed her all the way down the store, just ripping her over it. And I was like, my gosh! But where is this coming from? It's being propagated. Remember, you've got governors getting up on national television and telling their residents, hey, if you see more than one car in the driveway at Thanksgiving and Christmas,
come on, say that. Yeah.
Do you need a snitch on them? I mean, are we in Nazi Germany? I mean, this is what it seems like we're turning into.
Well, I mean, the way the measures are coming in, and part of it again, and this is where people need to kind of wake up. And the church specifically needs to wake up and be a voice to this stuff.
Right, exactly. And the church is—it's
that frog it's that frog in the pot type thing, right? Where the water's being slowly turned up to a boil, And before you, you know, like, oh, you get comfortable because the water's warm. You know, we get comfortable because the water's warm. And so that's lukewarmness, literally, where that mixture comes in. And you know, we've, you know, hidden our voice and hidden things. So anyway, go ahead.
I've got, and what you're touching on, man, I've got a podcast next week that I'm working on. And it's interesting. I'll give you a little bit. I'll give you a cliff note from this because it goes right along what we're talking about. In the time of the Babylonian captivity, Nebuchadnezzar, you had King Darius, you had these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. They were faced with these tyrannical governmental restrictions and mandates. And it's interesting how these men responded to it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's where I want to say, you know, so you ask, you know, where are we going with this? It, you know, when you go to the book of Revelation chapter 13, I got this pulled up on the screen for all of you guys that are watching by visual. If you're listening by podcast, if you have a Bible, please go open it up to Revelation 13 verses 11 through 17. I'm going to read this, break this down, and I want to show you a picture. I believe, again, I'm not saying that, and I want to make this known because I'm telling you, as I'm sitting here telling you this, people will put words in my mouth. I am not saying that this vaccine is the mark of the beast. I am not saying, I know there's people out there, there's blogs out there, there's websites out there, there's preachers out there saying, you know, the vaccine's the mark of the beast, don't take it. I'm not saying, personally, I don't think it is.
Right, right.
Now, I will say, is the mindset, the conditioning.
That's good. That's good.
Setting the stage for what we see in Revelation 13. The answer, yes, I believe. Watch this, Revelation 13, 11. And then I saw another, this is John the Revelator speaking, then I saw another beast coming up out of the sea, or I'm sorry, coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. That is the false prophet. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast, which the first beast was the Antichrist in his presence. And he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. This is, again, this is in reference to the false prophet doing all this, whose deadly wound was healed. That's speaking of the Antichrist. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. By the way, the false prophet does that. He was granted power. And by the way, the people, and when you read this, the people make the image. Mm. The people do. Look, it says he tells those who dwell on the earth to make an image. By the, if you want to, the there's what's we call this in hermeneutics and theology, the law of first mention. If you go to the book of Daniel, you saw this in play with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing. He told the people, erect an image. It was, you know, it was so many cubits tall, so many cubits wide, and he commanded them to worship the image. This is again, a parallel of that. But watch this. Verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, here we go. This is where I want to go with this. The false prophet, where all this is false prophet, he, still in reference to the false prophet, causes all, that's all humanity, both small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand. And by the way, this is New King James. In the King James 1611 version, it says in, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man or no one may be, no one will be able to buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So look at that. So again, we see prophetically speaking in, this is not a past tense situation. This didn't happen in 70 AD. This didn't happen in times past. This is a future event in which there will come two men, what's identified as the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will work in unison together, they will be given power by Satan to form a government in the last days that will require the citizens of the earth. And this is not a government of the United States or a government of Europe. This is a global government. You better get used globalism. To global. And these men will require the people of the earth to adapt and to oblige by a system which, again, according to the original translation of the Bible, it will be a mark in the head, forehead, in the right hand. And it will be either the name, the number, or the mark of the beast. Now, again, there's a great debate on, is it reference to the first beast or second beast? Is it in reference to the Antichrist or the false prophet? So it's either going to be this mark, name, number, this system is going to identify you as pledging your allegiance to the either the religion, and I believe it's both, religion and right. government of the last beast system. So I hope everybody sees that. So can you see now where this is why people who know the Bible are kind of freaking out a little bit?
Yeah, give those verses again for those listening, just to, you know, Revelation 13.
Yeah, let's pull this up again.
Yep.
Let me skip down here. Revelation 13, 16.
13, 16, yep.
He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. That's every individual on the planet.
Every sphere of society.
Right.
Type of thing.
To receive a mark on their, and again, I want to say, again, your New King James says on, and I really don't like that translation because I'm going to go back to the original and say in. I'm going to stick with in. To receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except
that word,
one who has this, that the word, mark, the name, word. Or the number of his name.
That word "buy" there literally is it's agorazo, and it means to go to market. To go to the market.
So look. Let me pull this up.
And I think the other one's paleo, something to that effect.
So look at this again. Let me
no
go
one's
back
able to go to the market.
Let me go back to what the minister of in the United Kingdom said. This may not be forced on society yet. And for you guys that are not watching this video, I've got air quotes yet. It may not be forced now yet, 2020. But he says, and here's the stunning part. He even said that you will not live a normal life without this. And he said, you won't be able to, and I quote, you can go look it up. We put this on our website. He said, you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade without having this vaccine. Now, I don't know if he had knowledge of the Bible, because he just verbatim just quoted Revelation 13, 16.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether he knew or not, he just quoted that. So again, but can you see this forerunner of this?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can definitely see those parallels, you know, those, shadows, foreshadowing, whatever. You can see that thing that's there. It's enough to put some markers up and, you know, and be like, hey, wait a second, you know, hold on here.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. It's going to be interesting, man, to see how this plays out. It's going to be interesting to see where we go with these COVID passports, the QR code, the green light, red light system, how far is the tentacles of this thing going to reach into every major industry, retail, and et cetera. And, you know, like I said, buckle up, get your popcorn and get ready, because we've got a show that's unfolding.
In the midst of that darkness, in the midst of that, you know, reset, you know, me, and I know your heart on this too, is, you know, there, you see through the scripture, you know, with great persecution, with, you know, in the American church, we've not seen persecution. You know, we get upset when somebody calls us names on Facebook. Seriously.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's people literally losing their heads in other nations. So we don't know what persecution is. We know what, we know what inconvenience is, but we don't know what persecution is.
So Jason, let me ask you this, cause you're an associate pastor.
Yeah.
How are you, what do you say to church folks that come in, and I know your flock, you guys, your church is not ignorant to these things. I know you talk about them, you discuss them, but I'm going to tell you, there majority of the church out there, as well as you know, and I know, they're ignorant to eschatology. They're ignorant to Bible prophecy. They're ignorant to any of these things. And remember, even Jesus looked at the religious leaders, the leaders of his day, and said, you can tell when it's getting ready, snow or storm or rain. He said, but you can't even discern the times and seasons in which we're in. So what do you say? How are you, what do you say, and how are you preparing your folks for this?
That the biggest thing is we're pointing people to Jesus in the midst of all this. I mean, he's the ultimate hope in dark times. You know, people attach their hope and their faith to all kinds of things in the midst of this, but they'll never find rest or in the midst of chaos if they don't understand Jesus and how he functions in the kingdom. That's the thing. We're either in this world, or we're actually functioning in the kingdom, and from the kingdom perspective, and from that kingdom, you know, my life is hidden with Christ. You know, I've been crucified with him. I've been, you know, I'm seated with him in heavenly places. So I can have, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? It's his righteousness, it's his peace, and it's his joy. And so in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of dark times, I can have light. I can have these things. So I'm recognizing, and that's the thing, we've got to be able to discern Jesus in the midst of all this stuff. You know, right. We've got to be able to find him in the midst of all these things, and secure our faith there, attach our faith to that stuff. You know, it's not a time to be intimidated with a spirit of fear, right? But he's given us that power, love, and sound mind. The word sound mind there actually means self-discipline. And so we've got to discipline ourselves as disciples of Christ. And this doesn't forfeit the Great Commission. You know, this is, things are getting dark, things are getting bad, so we need to, you know, put a pause on the Great Commission. No, we're supposed to be making disciples and discipling and making, you know, the wheat and the tare grow together in the same field. So there should be growth at the same time in the midst of this stuff, right? So the thing is, let's recognize the signs, recognize the things that are happening. But with that, let's be a wise master builder, learn how to navigate, let's foresee the evil day, prepare for it, and learn how to shift things so we can advance the kingdom in the midst of this. So that's where I'm at on it. That's where our people are on it, on these things. But it's an amazing time that you know, I was talking about this the other day here, the odds of this generation being born, you know, especially since 1973, you know, just the biology of, you know, what happens in us coming to birth in full term, and then for us being birthed on the timeline in this time frame, you know, he ordains the boundaries and stuff in which we should live, right? And so we could have been born, you know, in 70, 80, we could have been born in, you know, 33, you know, BC, we could have been born any time, but no, we're born and was brought forth in this time frame, in this season. Why? Because that's the best place he saw fit for us to be functioning and manifesting him, to those around us. So
that's good. Yeah.
That's where I'm at on it. In the midst of this stuff, I want to shift just a minute here. We may end up doing a part two, from this, and so we'll just stay on here and keep going if that's all right, because I like the way this is just flowing really awesome. I want to talk just a minute about, there are some cosmic signs. There were cosmic signs in the heavens all throughout the scripture, right? All throughout the scripture, there was cosmic activity. The cosmos, the cosmos responds to heavenly realities or to kingdom realities. And so there are signs. There are, and again, we're not to worship the signs, but we are to pay. Those are signs. What do signs do? They point to an ultimate destination. They point to an ultimate person, which is Jesus the Messiah. So at the birth of Jesus, at the birth of him, there were cosmic signs. And, you know, at the death, there was an earthquake. You know, there was all these, the magi.
And the sun was darkened.
The sun was darkened, right.
At the crucifixion.
Crucifixion. Right. So there's cosmic signs that parallel with kingdom realities or kingdom events. So I want you to speak for a minute, because here recently I've seen these headlines, man. There's been some cosmic signs. There's been some stuff happening. And do we balk at that, or do we actually say, okay, you've got my attention. I'm looking. What are you pointing me to?
Well, first of all, let me say this. Let's go back to the Old Testament in the beginning, all the way in the beginning, the first book of the Torah. And by the way, the Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. God said, and Jason can expound probably better than I can on this, but I'm just going to throw this out there. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons. I want everybody to hear those two words, signs and seasons, and for days and years. Again, it's Genesis 1:14. I didn't pull that up on the screen, but if you're watching, you can pull that up. There's two Hebrew words here, signs and seasons. The word sign here, remember, the reference here is the lights. We're talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, these constellations. Different. It says the word sign here is the Hebrew word meaning a signal, or as a flag, a beacon, a monument. Listen to this, an omen, a prodigy, or evidence.
Yeah, come on.
So these are not just, you know, there's not just a bright star out there that gives light during the day, and then there's another one that gives reflection of that at the night to give us light in the evening. You know, it goes deeper than that. And God says this. He said these things are, there's certain cycles and seasons that you're going to look to these things to the discerning. And those who understand the times and season we're in, you're going to see these as a monument, a beacon, and there's going to be times when it's going to be an omen or a prodigy, or can I say this, a harbinger.
Yeah, there you go.
The word seasons here is the Hebrew modim, and it means festivals, or literally appointed times. That is so powerful right there.
Yeah, appointed times.
And anytime, man, you want to interject anything, just go at it.
But no, I'm just saying those appointed times, those are set times on the, like, you know, we talk about
on his calendar.
In Greek, yeah, you know, chronos, which is the chronological time, but then you have kairos, which is that moment or that marker that's on that chronological timeline. So there's set times, there's set things. The whole feast, the whole feast things that they're actually called feasts of the Lord in, I think it's Leviticus 23. It talks about, these are the feast of Yahweh, not just the feast of the Jews. We've limited that and we've
I'm glad made you tradition said that.
Of that. So it actually says, these are the feasts of the Lord. So what's it saying? These are the Moedim. These are the set times of the Lord. These are his appointed times on this calendar. So, you know, and with all that, you know, there's, when you understand these times, you can understand these seasons. They point to him, or they, all these feasts and all these timing things should be markers that bring us back to the Father and bring us back to the Father through the Son, Jesus. So anyway, go ahead.
Right. And then, so then you have Joel 2, which every Pentecostal charismatic preacher knows about this, because they talk about the great outpouring.
The great outpouring, right.
You know, by the way, that outpouring that they reference to is not a future event. It took place. It began, it was initiated in Acts chapter 2, the upper room. And we're ongoing.
Continuing,
it's
continued. Right.
But something that a lot of people overlook on that is it talks about, you know, the moon shall be turned to blood and the sun shall be darkened before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So you see, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, or, you know, or this event, there's going to be signs in the sun and moon. So then you go to Luke 21 and you have this discourse, and you can find this in Mark 13 and Matthew 24. Jesus himself says, there shall be signs. There's that word again, signs. And he tells you in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. Again, he says there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars. So this is not something, because when you start getting into this, you automatically get accused of, oh, you're delving into astrology. Well, no, because there's a difference between astronomy and astrology.
So yeah, pause right there. Yeah, there's a difference between astronomy, right? Understanding that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and astrology, right? So those that are the sons of God, they're led by the what? The Spirit of God. So I'm not led by, I don't live my life based on the stars, right? I'm not led by those stars. That gets into you know, all that other stuff. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. But through that, I know that all creation groans, right? And they groan for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Man, that's a whole nother podcast, man. Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
But
creation groans, the heavens declare.
And that's Romans 8.
Yeah, and the heavens declare the glory of God. So who made those stars and who called them by name? I mean, look at Job. Where were you when I did these things? So he put them there. He set them in motion. He set them in order. So you know, I can learn from these things. I can glean from these things that point me to Him. So anyway, go ahead.
And what you know, what's really sad about that is even world leaders, if you study, world leaders even understood this, because they would actually, they would dictate on whether they would go to war or they didn't go to war based on some of these signs and the constellations and different things. Man, where do we go with this? Let me. Yeah,
Luke 21, there's signs coming.
Yeah, signs. Well, I'm just trying to think. There's so much. I mean, listen to all of you guys that are watching, listening to this. I'm going to give you a little excerpt of what we talked about on a previous podcast. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I'm not trying to throw a pitch at them. I'm just telling you where to go on YouTube. You can go on YouTube. We have a YouTube page, or we have a podcast. Well, End Time Headlines. We did a podcast. What was it called? Is This Another Harbinger? I want you to go back after this podcast or whenever and listen to this in full. This is, it'll blow you away. But I want to give you a little excerpt of what we talked about. There's a rare event that's taking place, that's getting ready to take place, and on December 21st. And this event,
there you go,
is an alignment of planets that one famous astronomer, not astrologer, astronomer, believes was the phenomenon that is mentioned in the Bible when Jesus Christ was born. This was according to a couple outlets. The alignment will take place again on December 21st, the winter solstice. It will be Jupiter and Saturn. They will come so close together in alignment. The last time this rare alignment of the planets was this close was in 1623. Now, why this is interesting, because this was 400 years ago. Now, you do know that we just came onto a 400-year marker point, a 400-year cycle. America, what was it, 1620?
1620, yeah. Yeah, you had the Pilgrims and then Robert Hunt, you know, at Cape Henry. So you know, there was a whole dedication of the land, you know, with, I think he declared, I've got the Psalm that he declared from right now, but anyway, declared that this nation would be a set nation, that the light of the gospel would go out to all the nations. And so there was a dedication, 400 years ago, and now we're at a 400 year cycle. And you'll see that played out all through scripture about now, the 400. So,
right. 400. Now it's interesting because the children of Israel were in captivity for 400 years.
Right. Right.
And why is this significant? Because there is one of these days I'm going to actually find the author of this, because I've done so many of these broadcasts and I always quote the book, can't tell you the author, but there's a book out there. And this guy went through and he did a lot of research on this, spent hours of research, and he discovered that every major empire and civilization, every major empire in the world had an average cessation or longevity period of 400 years. And then they ceased to be an empire. Either they were overtaken, they ceased, like the Roman Empire, they were destroyed from within, but whatever. whatever the case is, the bottom line is that the average lifespan of an empire, according to this guy's research, was 400 years. Now, why is this significant? Because in the Bible, again, we're going to talk, I'm going to use some prophetic terms here, but in Romans 11, it talks about this, the times of the Gentiles, or this, we call it the dispensation of grace or the church age. And we've all understood that there's a certain time frame, a space that only God knows in his sovereignty. And it's a space of time on God's calendar. Remember, he appoints times and seasons in which there will be an awakening, a revival to the Gentile nations. But once that becomes full, he will shift and he will go back to the Jews. That's Romans 11. You can read that in your own time. But it's interesting because we're seeing a pattern play out, because I believe that I still believe, and I know there is people out there that don't believe, they don't believe that America be judged. Some people don't even believe God judges nations. Because they say that's Old Testament. And I'll remind you, and I remind people even on my own broadcast and podcast, that Jesus looked, he pointed at three cities in his day and said, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida, and woe unto you, Capernaum. And this was New Testament.
Yeah.
And he said, the judgment that's coming to you will be far worse than that of Sodom and Gomorrah. He also looked at Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, how often have I wanted to gather to you together?
Yeah.
As a hen would gather her chicks. Then you go all the way to the time of Pontius Pilate, and Pilate had him on trial, and he had Barabbas there, and he said, which one of these prisoners would you like me to release to you as to custom? And the Bible says the Pharisees and the religious leaders provoked the crowd, and when Pilate offered them Jesus to be released, they said, no, crucify him. And he took out a basin of water, washed his hands of the blood of the innocence of Jesus. And the Bible, your Bible says in Matthew that the people cried out, let his blood be upon us and our children. Well, consequently, that was 40 years prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. So judgment came. And it was of the blood of the innocents. And I don't even have time. We'd have to go do a whole other podcast if I right. talked about the shedding of innocent blood and Roe versus Wade, 1973. And we just surpassed the 40-year mark, going on 50 years of that.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it was November 11th, 1620, was actually the Mayflower Compact. That's the 400-year cycle. Robert Hunt was in 1607. I just wanted to put that on there for those.
Right.
That are listening, you know, fact checkers and all that good stuff. So
yeah,
I like to be accurate, but yeah,
I'm glad you're on top of that.
That was those things. Go ahead.
So here you go. You have, and I mean, I want to point this out. Rabbinical thought on this is solar eclipses are and remember, I'm going to use a term here that a lot of people don't like, but I just told you, according to the Hebrew understanding of this, solar eclipses are an omen or a harbinger for Gentile nations.
Yeah.
Blood moons or lunar eclipses, when they fall on feast days and they're visible in Israel.
That's the key. There's
Yeah.
We could do a whole nother thing on understanding times and seasons as far as that goes.
Right. Just because you see a blood moon doesn't mean, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world, or this is a harbinger. No, there has to be things that square
other things up. That line up with it, not just that. And people mock and scoff at that, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Right. And so you had these, what's called a titrad, and you had these four blood moons that took place. You had them, first of all, they was traced back all the way to the time of the Spanish Inquisition. Okay. Then you had them a couple other times. You had them in 1947, 48, which is interesting. Consequently, that's when Israel was rebirthed as a nation. You had them in 1967, 68, and that was the Six-Day War. Again, you can go research it. It's all there.
That's just coincidence, Ricky. That's just coincidence.
Yeah. It's just, of course. And they fell on blood moons. Well, then you had them again. You had this titrad that came up recently, a few years back, and we know the first one that came out was Mark Biltz. He wrote books on this. He talked about this. He did videos on this. And then, of course, you had Jonathan Kahn talked about this. You had John Hagee talked about this.
Yeah.
And because nothing happened, quote, nothing happened, everybody was quick to blast Jonathan Kahn and Mark Biltz and John Hagee and call them false prophets in this. But I want to say this. This is that to me is ignorance, because they don't understand. Because again, I want to point this out. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Nothing happened. Could you imagine during that time? 10 years go by. Oh, look, well, nothing happened. We're good. Everything's good. 20 years go by. Nothing happened. I told you that Jesus was a false prophet. He said no stone would be left undone. It would not be thrown down, and nothing happened. But again, 40 years surpassed, and they saw the destruction of the temple. Or let's talk about this. Now I'm going to get into some heavy stuff. As soon as I find it here in my notes, I want to point out that we know the story of Jonah. Jonah was sent to Nineveh, and he was given a mandate from the Lord as a prophet to warn Nineveh that destruction was coming. God was about to bring down his judgment upon Nineveh. And he gave them a space to repent, which consequently it was 40 days.
Oh, there's that 40 again.
That's Tesh Shuvah.
400, yeah.
Well, here's what's interesting. When you do research on this and study this out, three things, listen to this, Jason, this will blow you away, because I don't think you and I have talked about this before this segment. Three things occurred prior to this event where Nineveh stood on the shore and gave them the word of the Lord. According to historical research, there was three major events that was all conspiring during the same season before this took place. Number one, there was a plague breaking out.
Wow.
Second of all, there was a eclipse. There was a solar eclipse. And you ready for this? The third thing, they were in the middle of a civil war.
My goodness, are you kidding me?
So think about this.
That's pretty interesting right there. I mean, that's just.
Yeah. So before those who are, you know, I always say this, Jesus spoke parables, and then he had his disciples say, hey, and they pull him aside and said, can you just talk to us plainly? So let me talk to you plainly in case you missed that. So here you have an event. You had God saw the wickedness of the nation, the abominations, the shedding of innocent blood, the debauchery, the abomination, the whole thing, all the sins of Nineveh. And he sent them a prophetic voice to warn them of the times and seasons which they're in to repent and turn. And while that voice was on his way, or in the midst of releasing that prophetic word, listen to this, there was cosmic signs in the heavens, there was a plague happening, and they were in the midst of a civil war. In case you've been hiding under a rock, we're in a plague, we're having strange cosmic signs, and we're about to embark into what could be possibly another civil war.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing the markers of that, you know, one way or the other. And even in the church, church, and from there out to the nation, as the, you know, that's where I'm at on things of, you know, people, as the church goes, so goes the nation type thing. So anyway,
exactly.
Keep going.
And let me give you one more heavy thing the signs here. I'm going to pull up it. Give me just a second. I'm going to pull this up here so you could see this. You guys are watching visually. What you see here, remember on August 21st, 2017, there was a full solar eclipse. By the way, this was a rare event. They said this was a rare event. And the reason why they said this was a rare event is because that it was so visible throughout the United States. It was so visible throughout the United States that they were calling this a rare event. And I want to pull up, I'm trying to find, because I wrote this down in my notes, and I want to give you this real quick. if I can't find it, we'll move on, of course. But this is so powerful. But the eclipse that took place on 2017 spanned all the way from the west. It went down. I think you probably saw it. I saw it. Okay. And, oh yes, I got this by memory. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this, Jason. This solar eclipse on this magnitude to be seen this visibly throughout the United States was not seen since 1918.
Oh, wow.
Wow. You say, okay. Well, guys, do you know what happened on 1918?
Go ahead.
It was the Spanish flu pandemic.
Yeah.
Man, are you all getting this? Now, watch this. Then you had this happen, and then 7 years out, seven, the number of completion. We could talk all day about the number seven. It's a biblical term, number. It pushes it out to April 8th, 2024. So this thing's coming again in 3 years. I say three because we're almost the end of the year now. So 2024, we're going to have another full eclipse. It's going to go the opposite direction right across the United States, and it makes an X across America. And look where the center of the X is on the map. It's in a location where there's a major fault line in America called the New Madrid Fault Line that blew in 1811, 1812 with a series of earthquakes that were so powerful that it rang bells across the state, caused geysers to shoot up out of the ground, caused the Mississippi River to run backwards. There was strange sounds that were terrifying that came from this earthquake because the ground ruptured.
Wow.
Now here, let me take it a step further. Look at this. I pulled this right up. I went to Google, pulled it right up. I'm going to read this from the screen that you're looking at. The earthquakes, talking about the 1811, 1812 quakes on the New Madrid, were preceded by the appearance of a great comet.
Wow.
Which was visible around the globe for 17 months. By the way, the word 17 months, that term 17 months, you can find that in the book of Genesis with Noah in the flood.
Mm. That's right. Yeah.
And it was the brightest of earthquakes. And let me say this. While we're talking about the flood of Noah, there's a comet called the Hale-Bopp Comet. And it was discovered. And the man who was credited to discovering this also found out, and there was other researchers that did all their research on this, and they found out that they traced this comet back. I don't understand how they do all this. This is way over my pay grade, but they can go back and look at these trajectories and stuff, and they can see when this comet was first visible and when it was seen. The first time this Hale-Bopp comet was visible on the Earth was during the same time frame that Noah was building the ark.
Wow, come on.
As it were in the days of Noah yeah. and the days of Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. So I don't know how long we've gone on this thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to just add one little thing there, and there may be more to it, and then we'll shut her down for today. But that, if you pay attention to that, can you bring that X thing back up? Are you able to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it the solar eclipse that came through? Yeah, that thing there. I was trying to remember. Ed Watts from Michigan. He's got a whole teaching on this, and he may be coming out with more of that a little bit later. That first track, the August 21st, 2017 there, that's on that track. Do you know it passed through seven Salems?
Oh, or you mean the 2017?
That was
the first track.
Right, the first
one. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, it passed through seven Salems. Salem, Oregon, Salem, Idaho, Salem, Wyoming, Salem, Nebraska, Salem, Missouri, Salem, Kentucky, and Salem, South Carolina. So there's the Salem is similar to like Shalom, Salem, peace. And, you know, so even in the midst of this, even in the midst of this chaos.
Right.
He's giving signs of peace, the Prince of Peace. Is it signs that he's coming? I don't know. You know, these are things that we're bringing up to point at, to look at, to discuss and have some conversation about that. The heavens are declaring the glory. You know, so that's, I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, that's good.
I remember that conversation, and I think there was more to that. And again, I'd point you to Ed Watts on that. We're going to have him on the broadcast, coming up, in the future, but yeah, there was seven. And yeah. What are the odds and the mathematical things of that, where it passed through seven Salems?
I mean, right. God is
that
speaking,
number seven. Man. Yeah. Yeah. Nonetheless, what I'm saying with all this is that the Lord is speaking. Pay attention. Let's see if we can discern some things, what he might be saying through those things. So,
go ahead. Give me 1 minute. I've got one last thing.
I'll let you do this last thing, and then we'll land it out. Okay.
Yeah, let me give you this, and then we're going to close this thing out. And we really probably should have done a series on this, but
yeah.
This is the good thing is we can always do this again. That's what I enjoy.
Right.
It.
Oh, yeah.
I want to – this is the thing that troubles me. According to an eyewitness to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, his name is Josephus, the historian. There's many books he wrote. He said prior to the destruction of the temple, there were seven great signs. And again, I'll spare your audience. I'm not going to go in detail over these seven signs. But he said there were signs in the heavens. There was bizarre bright lights, a sword. There was a comet that appeared like a shape of a sword.
Pleiades.
A cow gave birth to a lamb. The eastern gate was open and closing of itself. He said there was chariots of armies in the skies. There was strange voice speaking, and there was prophets in the day that was warning of the people. But here's the thing that got me when I studied this is in his day, Josephus said there was two voices in his day. When these things were happening, there was one voice that was telling the people that these are great signs of from the Lord of great prosperity and blessing and tranquility to the people. But he said, but listen to this. He said, but there was certain priests. Today, I would like to say they were prophets and watchmen.
Yeah.
That they knew the heartbeat of God. They discerned the times and seasons in which they were in. And they said these men were standing and they were screaming aloud to the tops of their lungs saying, these are harbingers. These are signs of the Lord telling us that great destruction is coming. And I'm going to tell you, man, the watchmen like myself and others that are out there are warning and saying, listen, how can God pour and shower out his blessings upon a nation that is responsible for millions of bloodshed of innocents?
Yeah.
And we're putting our stamp of approval on abominations. And now we're...
The church is saying this is okay.
Exactly.
But, you know, the church is saying, oh, that's permissible. That's all right. But, you know, there's this, there's that, you know, it's okay to, you know, for an 8-year-old to pick their identity.
But here's the redemptive hope, Jason.
Yeah.
Let me go back to Jonah. Plagues. You had a plague. You had signs in the heavens. You had civil war. And then you had a prophet sent to him. And the Bible says that from the king to the people, they repented and God gave them a reprieve. So listen, I'm telling you, if Nineveh was spared, God can spare America. Now, the bad news is Nineveh ended up, he gave them a reprieve for many years, but then they ended up being destroyed because I don't have time to get into that, but I can show you the book of Judges and Israel repented. They went back to captivity. They repented. God got them out. They went back. And there was just this whole cycle. But the thing is, guys, there's appointed times and seasons and God has in store what he's got in store. There's prophetic events that we cannot change. But listen, I'm telling you, the church we can either delay things or we can bring a reprieve by how we, I like to say 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the formula. It's not a prophecy. Somebody said the other day, it's a prophecy. That's not a prophecy. That's a principle.
The pattern, principle.
If my people that are called by my name, God will do this. If you do this, I'll do this. That's not a prophecy. That's a That's a principle.
It's a principle and a promise. If.
Yes. So that principle is still for us today. It's still for our listeners, still for our nation. The key, though, here it is, Jason. This is what I want to close with. Some people say, well, I'm not into politics. I don't really care about all that. It doesn't really matter to me. Well, it does, because if you go to the book of Jonah, it says the king repented, and the king gave the decree for prayer and fasting, and the king who is the one who initiated the nation to turn back to God. So I don't know how this thing's going to play out. I just thank God that I was not one of the prophets and one of the voices that said anything about Trump winning. That's all I got to say about that. Let me pull this back up. I'm just going to say that, but how this thing's going to play it, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. It is extremely vital and important that whether Trump wins or whether he loses and Biden wins or whether he loses, whoever comes into office for the next 4 years, whether you like the man, whether you don't like the man or the administration
or woman,
we better pray as a church. Jason, why don't you go ahead and close this out?
That's it, man. I'm with you. I'm going to contend with the prophecies, on those things. And as part of the praying church, either way, none of this exempts us. None of this stuff exempts us from advancing the kingdom, period. The end. The chaos, the signs, the who's in government, who's not. None of this stuff exempts the church from advancing the kingdom. Who is Matthew 16:18? He gave us the keys of the kingdom, and it says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so we are to be that ecclesia, that church that holds the keys that release righteousness, peace, and joy. And none of these things exempt us. These are things to if anything, to spur us. To spur us on to advance his kingdom in the earth. So, Ricky, thanks for being on, man. Again, most people should know where you're at. You've got an amazing following out there. But for those that don't know yet, or maybe those that's been hiding under a rock, how can they find out about you?
Our main landing page is End Time Headlines, and you can find it two ways, endtimeheadlines.com or endtimeheadlines.org. And as far as social media, I always say this, look for our trademark logo. It's going to be the big ETH. It's going to have the four blood moons and the solar eclipse in the middle. You can't miss it.
Don't settle for counterfeits.
Right. Yeah. And it is a trademark logo. So it's social media. You can find us on every outlet. We're on Facebook.
You have an app as well, right?
Yes, we're on Instagram. So on every social media, whether it's the main ones or we're even on Parler, MeWe, USA.live. But yes, you can find, in fact, let me pull that up here. We can pull this right there here. You can download our app, and it's free. Who don't like free stuff, right?
Yeah.
You can download our free app.
Right.
Yeah. And it's available on Apple. And it's available on Google Play Store. So it's free. As you can see, there's a little picture. You can scroll. You're going to get all the news and headlines, notifications, our podcasts on our YouTube channels on there. You can even subscribe. You can go to main website, subscribe to our daily digest. That's free as well. We have a podcast as well. Mm-hmm. And it's easy. It's End Time Headlines. You can find us on Apple. You can find us on Spotify as well. So that's how you find. And we do have a YouTube channel. Again, go to YouTube, type in End Time Headlines, and you're going to find us there as well.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. And be sure to go and support Ricky. Everything is free, but it does cost to make these things. It costs for hosting. Yeah. It costs for having servers that back all this stuff up and get things. And, he has a lot of traffic that goes on there. So be sure to partner with his ministry. Consider, whatever the Lord might put on your heart to support him. I want you to do that. And then download the app. That's the way I keep up with the headlines. I keep up with those things because I have the phone with me and I can just pull right up and see, and I trust Ricky. That's the biggest thing. I can trust him as a source. Because I know him. It says, know those that labor among you. And so he's not just going to post fluff type of things. He's going to post some things that are significant to things that are going on concerning believers and how we are to navigate in this time and season. So be sure to support him in what he's doing. Ricky, again, thanks for being on the podcast. I love you, man. And we'll be doing this again here shortly. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, man. It's always an honor to have you on and you to have me on. It's always an honor to have each other on. And I think we're going to be doing these more often. I'm looking forward to it. I know my audience, I can't speak for yours, but I know our people love you. Every time you come on and I have you on, they always look forward to you being on. So we definitely need to get to have these more often. So we'll get that scheduled and we'll do that. So love you, man. Until we see each other again.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.